David time when you said, wait, no, that was this line. David time when you sent the text, and the moment you sent it, you were already regretting it.
Welcome to What You Know About RJ, sharing restorative justice, stories, and skills. A podcast from California Conference for Equality and Justice, RJ in Schools. I'm your host for today's monumental first episode, Gilbert Salazar. I'm an RJ coach and strategist on the team. And today, for again, the first monumental episode, I've got a special guest here with me today. Before I introduce his name, I'm going to describe an action that he does in his daily grind. And here it is. He is alone. His eyes closed, one inhale through his nose, the exhale through his mouth. He prepares. Boom, boom, boom. Our first guest is my colleague, Pierre Davis. I'm going to pass the mic to you. And now a literal mic. Hey, so now when I say that, there's an actual mic this time.
Hey, what's it up, is, Pete? It is. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
All right, Pete, I want to ask you, in this teaser, what are you preparing for? Can you explain it?
What am I preparing for? Yes, inhaling and then exhaling. Either a speech. I might be preparing for a community building circle I have with a class. I might just having a moment of self-reflection right at the park, something like that.
And I'm going to ask for you to introduce your role and what you do with RJ in Schools.
Yes. So I am currently a restorative justice coordinator and trainer here at CCEJ with the wonderful RJ in Schools department. I currently am partnered with Stevens Middle School, Pride of the West, y'all, Pride of the West.
And what do you do there at Stevens Middle School?
So currently I support the 90% of the staff that we have trained and restorative practices to help build healthier and more authentic relationship with coworkers and students on campus to help disrupt school-to-prison pipelining.
The school-to-prison pipeline is the systemic practices within schools that increase likelihood of youth coming into contact with security guards or law enforcement officers as opposed to counselors, therapists, or mental health professionals when an intervention needs to be made. In addition, the use of zero-tolerance policies and exclusionary discipline, such as suspension and expulsion and other out-of-class measures, further impedes the ability of young people to receive an education. In particular, these policies impact and target youth of color, lower-income youth, youth with disabilities,
and lesbian, gay, bisexual, queer, trans, and gender non-conforming youth,
particularly in communities where recreational opportunities outside of school are limited or non-existent. So before we get more into more about Pierre and Pierre Davis, there's a question here of what brings you joy and what gives you strength?
What brings me joy? Seeing smiles on other people's faces. What gives me strength is my friends, my family, my religious beliefs.
I want to get into some of the work that you do with young people in your school. So as long as I've known you, there's a lot that you bring into this work. I think one of the first things that I noticed about you was activities and team builders in sports and games. And so I know you've done a lot of dope things at all of your school sites with games, sports, and team builders, and how that's influenced all of our work here. So I guess just kind of asking, in what ways have you incorporated all of that in your work in schools and in relationship building?
Well, currently, you know, working with the age range of, I would say, about 11 to 14-year-olds, we noticed that a lot of our youth still love to interact with one another through sports and activities. So some of the things I do at Stevens is we incorporate sports that they're already cycling through for the school year, and we try to add a mix by incorporating adults or staff on campus getting an opportunity to play alongside or even against some of our students. So it's another way we like to build community outside of the traditional circle. And it's more engaging, you know, it's more of a less competitive environment. Everyone's having fun. So those are some of the ways we do community building through sports on campus.
How have you helped to build relationships with adults? Because we know that working with adults has its set of challenges in this work.
Personally or help supporting a school build relationships?
I say both.
Both? Well, personally, how do I personally build relationships with adults on campus is, you know, while I am there, I'm making sure they see I keep a physical presence on campus. They know that I help hold down the safe space on campus, also known as the restorative justice room. And they know at any time they can contact me via cell phone, via work phone, or just shoot me an email and pretty much update me on how I can support them, whether that's helping them create a circle agenda that they want to do with their class, or it's helping respond to conflict, figuring out what's the next steps. As far as supporting staff with building relationships, I will help host segments throughout the week where it'll be a topic we're cycling around, and it's totally optional, so staff could come on by and share their opinions, once again, in a safe place, and get to learn a little bit more about each other.
What's your vision for RJ and the school?
My vision for RJ and the school is to help support our staff into responding to conflict and not thinking that detention or suspension should be our first response. My vision for the school is to help our adults see that when they see a behavior that they might not like in class, to look at it beyond just the observable action and to look deeper to figure out, like, what's causing this behavior? What's a way I could support this student? I feel like then we allow the opportunity for that relationship piece to be taking place in class, even after.
Yeah. So, Pierre, I know that you have worked with a female leadership academy. Mm-hmm. And the Male Student Success Academy. Mm-hmm. Can you, if I got those names wrong, if you could, like, feel free to call me out, but if you could talk about your work with those academies.
All right, so currently, yes, I do meet with both prospective groups once a week every time I'm on campus. The Female Leadership Academy, what we're doing a lot of focus around is first setting a space for the girls to be comfortable enough with each other to share their own opinions. This is a group of girls on campus. Some are kind of more of the popular ones. We also have a mixture of some that kind of keep to themselves, and then come some that are kind of in the middle. But pretty much what we're trying to allow is a platform for them to share their ideas, their opinions about pretty much how does it feel to be a teenage girl in 2019. You know, we noticed that when these strangers first meet and they share their own stories, they realize that they have a whole lot more in common. And in this space, they're not just building relationships, they're building friendships. As far as with the Male Success Alliance, our focus is more geared towards on taking accountability and being a leader with yourself and as a student at Stevens. So we have them focusing a lot on what they can do, creating action plans on what they can do to increase their grades, work on attendance, things like that.
I remember, I don't know if it was like last year or 2 years ago, the last time I think I was in a circle with you, with young people, I believe it was towards the end of the day, and it was all young men, and I think it was part of the, what's the name again?
Male Success Alliance.
Male Success Alliance, yes. Thank you. And I forget what the questions were, but I remember that circle. I remember some of the responses, and I remember, I think it was like a week later that you went on a conference with all these young men. And so I'm curious, as a male identified person yourself, like what connections you made with young men in circles and in sharing and talking about emotions and feelings and responses, just like what impacts that's had on you and what impact that's had with young men.
I mean, the amount of time I get to spend with these young men, I feel like some of the impacts it's had on me personally is I'm constantly reminded on just how much this up-and-coming generation knows about themselves. I could put myself back when I was 12, 13, I can honestly say I didn't know who Pierre Davis was. I was still trying to navigate through life, trying to figure out where I fit in. And I see a lot more youth nowadays. Yeah, they still go through similar, you know, struggles, But I also see a large handful of young boys having a better sense of this is who I am, this is what I like, and I'm kind of looking for guidance to help grow in that specific area. So some of the activities we've recently have gotten the opportunity to conduct with our Male Success Alliance was we recently took them to Cal State Dominguez Hills for a leadership summit where they got to meet Cesar Cruz, who is one of the first Latino males to graduate from Harvard. And I kind of want to give a backstory on that because a lot of our young boys, what they see growing up is that they don't see much men that look like them that have a positive outlook on what success looks like, right? So a lot of our time together, our young boys get to see young men that look like them that excel in different career paths, things outside of like what's popular right now. So whether it's in the music industry or just being an athlete, those are all great careers, but we're trying to support our young boys into expanding the career paths that they can take. So for example, I know we have a few students that are into interior design, right? And I don't feel like that's a typical response you get from a 13-year-old boy, but this is something that they're interested in. And now that we know these are some things that spark their interest, we want to kind of give them some more tools or ways to research that, and also to create vision boards and action plans even while they're in middle school. What can they personally do to expand and grow in those areas, learn more about that topic. As far as with the Female Leadership Academy, right now, our main focus is self-esteem and what that looks like with oneself, right? So navigating around what is self-esteem? How can we build one's own self-esteem? What are some things that might break that down? And how do we respond when comments are made that might lower or boost our self-esteem? So those are some of the activities we are focusing on with Female Leadership Academy.
I heard you talk about... Let me bust out with my active listening or sort of dialogue skill right here.
Use those skills.
You talked about young men, young boys not yes. often see themselves reflected back.
Yes.
And so I know this is a podcast, but if folks listening could just visualize, there is a photograph that is mounted on a board in our office. And okay. it is of a shorter haired Pierre Davis. I don't think it's Stevens. I forget what school it is. Pierre is standing, he's outside, and there's a group of all, like, young boys around him, and looking like, I don't know if it was after a game or after an activity or about to be in an activity, and so my brain is pushing me the way it does in Circle to ask the question to you of what, if I were to pull aside one of those young boys and ask him, when you see Pierre, what do you see? What do you think they might respond? I'm going to ask you that.
Definitely, I could see one of the boys I work with, Steven, saying, Mr. Pierre is always trying to get us to work as a team, right? I think I know what photo you're talking about. And that day, we were playing a co-ed flag football game. And this is for preparation for the staff versus students game. And I can relate some of the boys at that age. You know, they kind of want to be the best out there. It's just, you know, it's a little bit of competition. That's what you bring. That's what comes up when you talk about sports. But I noticed a lot of the boys were more so focused on, can I make the touchdown catch? Or can I juke everyone out? Although that's fun, I wanted that specific sport that day to have a deeper meaning. And I said, well, what can we do to incorporate our teammates more? So I was kind of giving them a pep talk and encouraging one of the boys to not just give the ball to his best friend, but also utilize the other players, men and women, that were on that team. Because I knew in the next couple of days when they play the staff, that's going to be something they're going to need to lean on. Not just one other superstar athlete, but the entire team. So I could definitely see our students saying something around teamwork.
Hearing that, it reminds me of when I was 19, I was in my second year of an AmeriCorps program, and basically I did everything that year from being the person with the traffic cone that parents were not allowed to come into the front of the school with the orange jacket to reading groups in kindergarten, fourth grade. But the part of the day that I always remember is lunchtime. And I remember my first week, I was given an orange jacket, a black binder, a whistle, and was told to go to this big field. And they gave me a soccer ball. and we're like, your job for this year is to monitor for an hour lunchtime recess on this field. And so I was like, okay. So I did that. I walked out, and kids loved playing soccer. And it was bilingual at school. And so it was one of the few times that I can remember on the field, at least, like the English-speaking students and the bilingual Latino students playing together. Mm-hmm. But it was mostly just boys playing. Mm-hmm. And the more I was out there, the more I was working with students, girls were like, Mr. S, that's what they called me. Mm-hmm. Mr. S, I want to play. And so it took me like a whole year to figure out what to do in terms of like giving them prop points. They got a penalty if they didn't incorporate someone. I would give them points if they used encouraging language. You know, all of this, as I know now, as restorative dialogue. I had two different games happening with four different teams. And so the two teams that had the most prop points on Fridays was a big tournament, and I would bust out the, not the little cones, but the big cones. And it was the game, it was like the game that you wanted to play at the end of the week. Nice. And so when I remember, so hearing these stories to me reminds me of my time in that field in Walla Walla.
Okay.
And just the huge power that games and activities have. With that, I want to ask, because I know that we talk about games, we talk about games with adults, with folks listening today, what does team sports have to do with restorative justice?
I feel like team sports has a lot to do with restorative justice, because in RJ, we're talking, one of the foundational steps as we talk about is relationship building, right? And we talk about community, which means there are multiple people that are a part of this community. And I can see the parallels when you talk about a sports team, right? That sports team, that is your immediate community, right? And in that, there are relationships, right? There's great relationships. You might have a friend on a team. You might have a friend in your community where you live or where you go to school at. And sometimes you're going to need to lean on someone else in your community or on your team in order to reach that common goal. So I know in the story I was sharing a few minutes ago, we were talking about American football, right? Scoring a touchdown is the goal of the game. However, in order to get to that touchdown, it often takes multiple pieces working at the same time to reach that goal. I feel like when we're talking about restorative justice, it's a community initiative. It's not just one person. It takes a collective to reach that goal and to work as a community.
We talk a lot about here at the office and on the team about being restorative.
Yes.
And so I wanted to take a step out of 7:30 to 4, 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. And I know that you are athlete. I know that you are got friends, a little something still. All of that, all of your various identities outside of here. And my so knees I'm wondering, are wondering, I'm wondering, when have you been restorative not at work, like not while doing this work? But you still have made a restorative choice.
Okay, is this, do you want me to go along sports still, or can I take it to like relationships, or can, look at you, cheese man. All right, so your question is, when have I used restorative practices outside of work?
Yeah.
Definitely. And that, you know what, thank you, that's a great question, Gilbert, because I think it's great to spotlight that being restorative shouldn't just be taking place from your 9 to 5. It's something that you can consistently do in your personal life. One situation that came to mind is definitely recent, or I would even say now, is a situation me and a few of my friends are having. We're trying to plan a Thailand trip. And we, as a group, have never done a major trip together. And one of the reasons why, just being transparent, is it's hard to get a lot of people on the same page, right? We're talking logistics, so we're talking scheduling. You know, some of my friends have kids, so securing a babysitter while we're gone, figuring out what do we actually want to do while we're on this trip together. And I'll be honest, we have a lot of strong personalities in our group, including myself. So to answer your question, one time I saw myself being restorative or using restorative practices is recently when one of my good friends that's also planning the trip, you know, he had the exact same idea as me and two other people going. And we didn't realize it, but we're all talking over each other at the exact same time. And I don't know how you feel, but have you ever been in a room where everyone's talking, you just feel the tension slowly rising? You know, I noticed it myself. I'm starting to get a little bit more frustrated. I'm just like, can we just have one person speak at a time? And the moment I said that, my good friend Morris spoke up, and you know, he shared his idea on what dates we should actually be on this trip. And that forced me to use the tool of active listening, which we learned in restorative dialogue, right? To just hear him out. Not to hear him for me to respond, but to hear what he's truly saying. And it was the moment the entire room was silent and he shared his ideas, we were all like, that's a great idea, let's go with that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until we all actively listened where we had the opportunity to hear him speak. Mm-hmm. So definitely one recent time where I use restorative practices outside of work. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
We're still planning out that Thailand trip though. Still planning.
Shout out to Thailand and that trip. I want to ask you, so there's a lot of things that teachers, with very legit reasons, have said in the past and, you know, may continue to say when we talk about games and team builders in the classroom as a restorative practice, and various things like, I don't have time for that, I can't move, or how do I move the desk in my room? Like, I'm sure you could think of like two or three more. I think to kind of begin to land this conversation, I want to just bring out your expertise and ask you, what are some responses that you made to teachers, or what are some things that you would want to say to teachers or educators about when those challenges come up around games or team builders in the classroom or with students?
What I would say to our educators that are actively trying to build community via team builders and exercises, I would say, one, just know that you'll never be a perfect facilitator. It's kind of like a doctor. They're constantly practicing, but as you continually practice these skills, you'll notice it becomes more natural and it becomes less scripted, right? Oftentimes we get some adults that leave our trainings and they remember the activities and how it went with adults their age, and sometimes they forget that with the youth, you might have to do the activity maybe more than once for them to truly understand it. Or you might have to go a little bit more in depth in the instructional piece, you know, of the activity. So I definitely want to say, take your time, try it on first. Find time throughout the day, whether it's the first 7 minutes of class after everyone gets settled in, you do attendance, whether it's right before you dismiss them for their next period, find time to do these team builders, because I've noticed if you've never done circle with your group before, that might be a little heavy for them, you know, and a traditional community building circle might be time consuming, but you could definitely still go over restorative principles that show up in our games, right? So for example, some of that, what's the activity when, what's one game where they the focus is like eye contact? What's the one? What's the name?
Zip Zap Zoom.
Like that.
There's contact and bibbidi bop. Zombie. These are all games that you can be trained in.
In the games book, it's Hey Neighbor. It's not Win the Win Blow. Hey. I think it's the official name we have in the games hand.
One of the tips I would like to give adults that's trying on team builders and activities with their youth is to understand that circle agreements are not only show up in circle, but they can also show up in a team builder. So for example, for those of you that have played Hey Neighbor, When the Wind Blows, we notice that in the circle, there's one speaker that's in the center, right? And one of the agreements we always make sure we have up there is something like respecting the talking piece, which in turn is respecting the speaker that is sharing right now. We wanna challenge everyone else to be active listeners. And I notice in When the Wind Blows,
when that one person is speaking, that's exactly what the students are practicing, right? You don't just have to be sitting down in a traditional circle to try to practice that. You can do it in a more engaging way, in a way that's more fun, where our youth get to move around. Because let's remember, at the end of the day, some of them are still kids. You know, it's great to learn, but it's even better for them to learn while they're interacting with the adults, while they're interacting with classmates. So definitely something I would throw out there.
So I love all my neighbors who share a story about their name. And so okay, I want to throw out that question. You're the last one in the circle. You ain't got no seat. You're in the middle.
Okay.
Share something about your name.
My name, well, Pierre Davis, Pierre Kadeem Davis, if you want my full government name.
I did not know that.
Pierre Kadeem Davis. And,
okay,
you know, my name, it definitely does have a story. My grandma and great-grandparents, you know, coming from Honduras, by way of New York, you know, when they first came to the States, they were subject to a lot of racism and prejudice. And my grandma, at the time, talked to my mom when she was pregnant with me and my sister, and she wanted my mom to know. Pretty much she gave her, in her own ways, a suggestion, and one of those suggestions were name your children or name your son something so that if he was to apply for a job, the employer can tell what race he belonged to. And though you came up, and from that you came up with the name Pierre, you know, Davis is a common last name, but Pierre, I don't know, just personally, I don't think you would think of a black man when you hear Pierre Davis. So that was my grandma's reasoning behind it, but that's how you got me today, Pierre Kadeem Davis. Mm.
What's a nickname that you got that you can share?
A nickname? Let me see. I have tons and tons of nicknames, to be honest. A lot of the kids nowadays, one of their favorite songs, the guy says, "Ayo, Pierre, do you want to come out here?" So it's that entire phrase. When I walk on a campus, students are like, "Hey, yo, Mr. Pierre, you want to come out here?" And it's fun the first couple times, but I kid you not, if I had a clicker, it's over 100 times a day. Students ask me, "Do I want to come outside?" And I'm like, "I'm already out here. I'm with you." Another name, I think our department, they love to use my middle name, either Kadeemskis or Pierre Chisito. What is
Jenny just said it today. Pieruccio or Pieruccio.
Pieruccio. A little roll of the tongue there, a little bit.
I just call him P. That was with his consent.
Yep, or simply P. That's totally fine too.
I want to move us into a game, but before I do, I just want to give a shout out and give just some gratitude of my own. Earlier, I was mentioning this this photo that you were in. It's probably one of the few photos that you're in, because one of the ways that I want to shout you out is a lot of our media. If you have seen a video, an image of RJ in schools,
or chats, our office.
Or Mariachi Plaza from Boyle Heights, or various other locations in Southern California. Training. Chances are that the man behind the camera was Pierre Davis, and so I just want to shout you out for how you further our work.
Thank you.
And so one of my favorite things working with you is a lot of the media stuff that we've done.
Yes,
like you directing, or you being the cameraman, the camera director in different videos that we've done. And so it's cool that for the first in this big first episode of What You Know About RJ, that you and me are here first, and that you're the first guest. So shout out to you. I would slap your hand, but this equipment is expensive, and our producer director Belia, if anything dropped, she would get mad, and she's already hungry. So I don't want to press even more.
Her stomach is growling right now, yeah.
So this segment is called Tell Me a Time.
Okay.
And the way it works is, so there was one time at a training where Jenny and I were doing a training.
Okay.
And the pizza was late, if I remember correctly. And so we had like 15 minutes more to do.
Okay.
And we had just introduced creating circle questions. And yes. So we had the team divided into two groups, and we were in the gym. we had them across the line, and one by one, somebody had to randomly self-select and jump in and face off with somebody and name a question. You had to do like rapid fire.
A question.
And so for this game of Tell Me a Time When, we're going to give a prompt to each other, like, tell me a time when, boom, boom, boom. And then the next person has to do the same thing, but we want it to be a flow, and we want the other person to sort of, we want to catch the other man off guard.
Okay.
That he like loses balance and like kind of forgets what his next thing is going to say. Does that make sense?
So we're not answering.
No.
We're responding by saying name a time when.
Yeah. We're not responding.
Person. Gotcha.
What we could say is as a restorative practice belief of like in terms of curiosity, what thing might spark curiosity and what you would want to respond, but we're not doing that right now. We're not responding.
Okay, I respect that. Okay.
Since you're younger, you can go first.
Okay, so I am saying this to you. Just name a time when.
Yeah.
And this could be anything.
Anything.
All right. Name a time when you were 100% full and your tummy was just loving the food you just ate.
Name a time when you were super hungry.
Name a time where the moment you walked in your house, you crashed. You just went straight to sleep.
Name a time when you had a dream that you were naked.
Ooh. Name a time where you suddenly woke up from a dream.
Name a time where it was 2:30 in the morning and you were hungry. What did you eat?
Name a time when you were startled.
Name a time when you startled somebody else.
Name a time where you felt like you brought someone else joy.
Oh, name a time when you gave joy to your mama.
Name a time where you felt like you could have done better.
Name a time when you felt you were drowning.
Name a time when you were proud of yourself.
Name a time when you rocked some really dope shoes and you felt so good about yourself.
Name a time when you felt loved.
Name a time when you ate a hot dog. I'm losing it.
Name a time where you had one too many drinks.
Ooh. Name a time when you had one too many drinks and you called somebody that you weren't supposed to.
Name a time when you said, wait, no, that was this line. Name a time when you sent the text and the moment you sent it, you were already regretting it.
I do have that. And on that note, we're gonna thank you for that. I'm gonna land that plane, and I'm gonna pass. I love that. When I say I'm gonna pass the mic, there's like a mic already in front of you. So I'm gonna pass the mic to you for your segment.
Okay. All right. So for this next segment, I like to operate in a realm of being grateful, regardless of the circumstances I'm currently experiencing in my life. And one of the quick exercises anyone can do at any time of the day is just to take 60 seconds of gratitude. And how that works is for 1 minute, you're simply just gonna, you could be by yourself, you're just going to announce different things you are grateful for. So it's not one specific category. I honestly try to challenge people to just close their eyes and just say whatever comes to mind. Say what's on your heart and just express that. All right. So I'll model that now.
Yeah.
All right. So can I get a timer? Can someone help me out? All right. And for the next 60 seconds, I'm going to just name off things I'm grateful for. And it goes a little something like this. I'm grateful to have a loving mother that constantly pours into me and checks in on me to make sure I'm doing good. I'm grateful to have a set of friends that have been with me since I was at elementary school and are constantly looking out for my best interests. I am grateful for an awesome group of coworkers that are intelligent, wise, and are all creatives in their own way.
And sexy.
Absolutely, absolutely, and sexy. I'm grateful to have a roof over my head. I'm grateful to call Long Beach my home. I'm grateful that the sun is shining right now because I need that vitamin D. I am grateful to have a vehicle that is paid off and can get me to and from work. I am grateful to have a loving God that is constantly watching over my back.
I am grateful to have shoes on my feet so that when I want to walk, I can do that. I'm grateful to be healed from knee surgery.
Yeah, that was 60 plus seconds of gratitude from Pierre Davis, who always pushes all of us, encourages all of us to be more grateful in that practice. We are almost, we're at the end of our time with you. Last closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts, I would definitely just encourage any adults that are at a school campus and they are trying different restorative practices and they feel like they're doing it on your own, try to have a group of people, of like-minded individuals that's also willing to try these practices. Because I've noticed when you have other people on your campus that you feel like are willing to do the same things that you are, it's easier to pull from different ideas, figure out what worked, what didn't work, and brainstorm for like next steps for your school site.
Thank you. For the next episode, we're going to have a different team member be interviewed here on the podcast. And so just as I did with Pierre earlier, I'm going to ask Pierre to read the little something about our next special guest from the RGN Schools team. So whenever you're ready.
All right. This is the teaser for the next episode, y'all. All right. Everyone ready? All right. Here we go. She enters the space. It is cold and dark. She circles the objects of her intention. Eggshell powder falls from her fingers. She prays for openness. What do you think this action is? Find out in our next episode, everybody.
And with that, we're going to close out. What you know about RJ, my name is Gober Salazar. This is the CCEJ California Conference for Equality and Justice, RJ in Schools podcast. And please don't forget to check out our website, cacej.org, for any upcoming trainings that CCEJ RJ in Schools has, as well as the Games and Team Builders Handbook that Pierre was mentioning earlier.
Yes, yes, yes.
And our Circle Agreements posters, also of which Pierre helped to flesh out the image of.
Get your hands on that, y'all. It's going fast. Check out our boutique.
Yeah. Thanks, all. Thank you, P.
Thank you, thank you.
Sending out big gratitude again to Pierre for this interview. The game Tell Me a Time Win, for all you folks that are practicing restorative justice in schools and communities, can be a way for folks to generate questions for Circle. With that in mind, here's a question to close us out. Name a time when you felt loved. Go. Speak it to the world or the next person you see. Thanks for listening. Come hear us again.